Well, for fans of The Chosen, no doubt you've been very excited that season 3 is out at the moment. And of course, we saw the debut up on the big screen in cinemas across the nation, in fact, around the world as well. Now, as the season comes to a close, you have the opportunity again to finish the season by seeing it on the big screen. We're so excited for that. Right now, we're going to be catching up with one of the cast members. She plays Mary Magdalene. Her name is Liz Tabish, and she joins us now from The Chosen. Liz, welcome. Great to chat with you.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Oh, look, absolutely our pleasure. Now, first of all, I just want to say well done on your role as Mary Magdalene. It is such a big role in the show and also one that carries so much emotion and so much character behind it. Was it daunting stepping into this character for you?
Of course. it was, you know, it's this historical figure that is so important to so many people, and you know, you want to honor her, you want to get it right, but of course as an actor, if you're trying to get something right, you end up controlling the process and ruining it. So it's been this funny little dance of just really trusting the beautiful writing of the way they've portrayed her, and just, you know, surrendering to the process and letting the story unfold. And it's just been such a joy and privilege to be a part of this.
Yeah. Now, I think one of the great things about the show is the way that it's kind of fleshed out these characters a lot more. And obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of that, you know, the credit goes to the writers for the work they've done in that. But for you inhabiting the role as an actress, are there any little things where you thought, you know what, I reckon, you know, it's maybe not explicitly said in the Bible or what we know about it, but I might just add this little thing in here that I reckon would, you know, just add a bit of extra dimension to my character.
Sure, I have to think. I think there's a lot of little nuanced, I don't know, gestures that kind of come about accidentally, that maybe aren't in the script, but you know, these little things of like who you're looking to, who you're sort of focused on within a scene, even just like looking down and not making eye contact it says something. That's like this beautiful thing. What I love about cinema is just the most minute details and movements from an actor can portray and convey so, so much. So there is, you know, there's this freedom to really own the character that we're given, to make them human. And, you know, instead of relying on, I think, acting techniques, which I have done a lot in my career, in this instance, I have really had to be like, what would I do in that situation? How would I respond? And I think that's what a lot of these actors are doing to make, you know, these characters that have been kind of one-dimensional for some time, fully fleshed out and fully human. Where we make mistakes and we say the wrong thing or we go the wrong way sometimes, and you know, how we react and respond as humans.
Yeah. And look, obviously, yours is a character that has, as I mentioned before, a lot of emotional weight behind it. And I think a lot of people will be moved by, you know, if they haven't watched it yet, you know, going through and following your journey. What do you hope that viewers of the show take away from watching Mary Magdalene's journey throughout the show?
Yeah, she has such a roller coaster of a journey. She has so many ups and downs. And she has, you know, in season one, the first episode, she's just tormented. She's in the state of despair to the point of suicide, or she's at least suicidal. And even in season two, she's triggered in a lot of ways and returns to her old ways. And we see her in these really low places. And I hope that when people see her story, they remember that there is the other swing, the upswing of that, the other side of that, where she is redeemed and she is loved and she is full of joy. And I think her story is one of this sort of, you know, growth that is portrayed in a very realistic way, which is, two steps forward, one step back. And that's how people are. That's what we do. We can be saved and then slip up again one day and go back to drinking, you know, or go back to whatever your vice is. And I think her story shows that you're still loved and you're going to make mistakes. And that you just, you know, okay, so now you're here, and then you move forward. And I think it's just this character arc of real hope that requires work. And she's constantly trying to work on growing in her faith and confidence and in being a part of the group.
Yeah, I love that, because I feel like often in faith-based media, there's often just the journey from sort of, you know, the dark place to the light place, and it's almost this linear journey and that's it. And I love the reality of that, and even it's been described as kind of a gritty take on it as well. How important is it for you to be involved with a project like this that, you know, was that what attracted you to the role, was kind of the fact that it was such a different take on, you know, this type of story?
Absolutely. I remember seeing for the audition, just the name, and it was Mary Magdalene / Lilith. I was like, what is this? This is strange. And when I read the script, you know, she goes by Lilith. We don't know that it's Mary Magdalene yet until the end of that episode. And boy, I hope I'm not ruining anything for your listeners, but it's been out for a few years, so hopefully they've seen it. But when I first read it, I thought, this is a really intriguing character that is portrayed in a kind of a modern way of showing what trauma does to a woman, what trauma does to a person. And the demons that she's wrestling with, whether they are literal or figurative, like, they're real to her, they're real, and it's tormenting her. So, I just thought it was well done, in that you could view her in lots of different lenses, through maybe a psychoanalytic lens or through a spiritual lens. And there's such a beautiful ending to that episode, that I was just so excited to be able to get to play, you know, kind of two sides to one person.
That's awesome. Well, I'd love to know your journey to The Chosen. How did you get the role? Did you, did you see it posted somewhere and go for an audition? Did someone approach you?
No, I was about to quit acting. I was doing a lot of commercial work in Texas, and it was not creatively fulfilling, and it was also not really paying the bills. And I was living with my mom because I couldn't afford rent anymore, and driving a beat up car, and I thought, I need to get practical, and I need to change my path, and because this isn't working anymore, and kind of just give up the dream of acting, which I had for so long. And I told my agent to stop submitting me. And he said, okay, well, if something comes along, I might, and I'm going to keep you on the roster. So, oh, whatever. I had an audition for a theatrical role, like a in a TV show or a film, for a long time. It had been like a year or two. It had all been commercial. And this was the last thing I was expecting, so much so that I still feel like I'm dreaming. He submitted me to this, and I got the audition, and I read it, and I had never connected to anything so much in my life. I thought, this was like written for me. And if I don't book this role, then I really need to give up. But I auditioned for it. I didn't hear back for about a month. I thought, okay, well, there goes that. And then I got a call back, and it was with Dallas. And he said he just wanted to make sure that I like understood some comedic timing, where things were like a little lighter instead of so emotionally heavy. And I did that scene where Jesus comes to the door, and I'm just frozen, and then I let him in episode 2 of season 1, and we all had a nice little chuckle. and then he was like, I'm excited to work with you. And I left, and I was like, did that mean I got this? I don't know. You know, it could have meant anything. As an actor, you're so used to rejection that becomes, I mean, after 10 years, that just becomes expected, that you're like, I'm not going to book this. So I'm driving home from Dallas to Austin, and like an hour into the drive, and this never happens, I got a call from my agent saying, you booked it. And that never happens. It's never happened to me before. It's been life-changing ever since, but it was very unexpected.
Yeah. Well, the whole show has just blown up around the world. It's got this massive following, huge support for it as well through the crowdfunding. I'm often fascinated to wonder, like, as you're making it, particularly in that first season before anyone's ever seen any of the footage or anything, did you get a sense of how big this was going to be and what kind of impact it was going to have? Could you tell as you were making it?
I had no idea how big anything could be. And I definitely was not expecting it to blow up to this proportion at this point. I don't even think we were expecting to finish the season. It was just the first four episodes of season one. And it was dependent on crowdfunding. So we're like, well, you know, what if that runs out and then we just don't, you know, make any more? And the story, like, I think all of the actors are just like, this is so good. the writing is so good. And it was just this, I think, real hope that it would continue. And then season two was a surprise as well. It came during 2020, during COVID, and all productions were shut down except for, I think, The Chosen and like five other productions in the world. And we just, like, you know, it's been every stage of this has been a really incredible surprise. But yeah, it's, you know, you read something and you have this feeling, you know, that there's something very special about it because you're being moved, you know, at just reading a script, you're so moved from the words on a page. And then to see it come to life during filming, you're still moved. You're like, this is special. And then you see it in post-production after it's edited, and it's just as powerful, and if not more, you know, more powerful. And, you know, it's one of those few things that, like, I think there's been some confidence and some real confidence of, like, this is a good team. This is, you know, an incredible team behind it.
Well, I'm fascinated by that. You mentioned, you know, watching it in post-production. Have you sat down to watch the series as most of us would? Or, I mean, I imagine you're probably given your own copy of it. Or is that too hard and weird to kind of watch your own work on the screen?
I have. I like the show just as a viewer, so I want to watch it. But then also watching myself in scenes, I usually force myself to. I get very cringy all the time, but, like, I force myself to learn, to see what needs work. You know, it's still a craft, and we can still keep getting better as actors. So it's really nice to be able to have a character that you can live with for a little while and do a season, watch it, learn from it, and then take what you've learned into the next season. So it's been a gift as an actor, I think, to be part of this.
Wonderful. Well, we're very excited for the finale being available to see in cinemas. And of course, if you can't make it in cinemas, make sure you go and get the app and access it from home as well. But watch it on the big screen if you can. There's so many, so few opportunities to do this kind of thing. Liz, it's been wonderful to get to chat with us. Thank you so much for sharing your insights into the character and a bit of your journey as well. And we hope that this just opens up even more doors for you now that you haven't given up on your acting career in the future.
Thank you so much. I hope everyone gets to see it on the big screen, because these two episodes are going to be just incredible.